This is the prayer for the Scriptures for America Gideon Elite Prayer Warriors for the summer of 2019. Heavenly Father, in this appeal to heaven, we ask that the Holy Spirit reveal to us any ungodly strongholds that may be hindering this ministry or your people. Father, the God of this world has blinded the minds of many of our people and placed a veil upon their hearts and minds. Remove that veil, Lord Jesus, and let the light of the gospel and the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ and all of his truths be made manifest to your people. Let there be a revelation and enlightenment of your word, Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we cast down anything and anyone that would dare to exalt itself or himself against the knowledge of God, especially pride and rebellion. We pray against any unknown or known ungodly strongholds and against any fear we might have of receiving the greatest gifts from God, gifts that you desire for your people to have access to. With the authority that you have granted us through the power of the Holy Spirit, in the name above all other names, Jesus Christ, we bind any demonic forces from hindering in any way what the Lord has planned for his people, this generation of true Israelites, as we seek once again to find the ancient path. Heavenly Father, we ask that anything that is not God's truth be laid out in the open, and we repent of any lie or deception we may have believed in the past. We ask that you grant us a willingness to remove anything that stands between you and us and the relationship that you desire, that intimate, close friendship. Again, with the authority that you have given us and by the power of the Holy Spirit that dwells within us, we bind any and all spells or witchcraft. We cancel any and all satanic assignments, and we forbid the enemy from operating in our lives or our families' lives. We bind the spirit of deception from speaking or showing itself, and we boldly proclaim that no lies will be told against the truth. Lord Jesus, we ask you to bind any spirit that is not of you. Heavenly Father, we also bring before you the covenant you made with your servant and friend Abraham. Heavenly Father, we know who we are, but we do not yet fully understand that truth completely. Grant us a greater understanding. Reveal to us, your people that are called by your name, the things that are hidden until the proper time. Let this be that proper time. We understand that you made a covenant with your people and that you came only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Through that covenant promise made with our father Abraham, we claim miraculous healings, miracles, gifts, fruits, wisdom, knowledge and understanding, and the whole of the promise that you have made between you and true Israel. We call for you to fulfill that promise in the precious name of your Son, Jesus. Let our hearts be set upon revival of your people and on the restoration of your kingdom. Let us be about the business of the building of your foundation upon which the kingdom order rests. In the name and authority of Jesus Christ, we ask and claim it. Amen. Thank you. and good evening to the remnant, and welcome to 7x70. This is Ranch Wrangler Richard coming to you live from the Radio Ranch this June 24th, 2021. I want to thank you for joining us here, and want to let you know we'll have the phone lines open in just a little bit, and be glad to take your call if you want to give us a call. If you have a question or a comment, be glad to do that. It is live radio. Can't guarantee that we'll answer your question, but we'll sure give it a try. Again, June 24th, 2021. Want to thank you for joining us. And praise God, we got a little rain today. And that's always good. That's the first real rain. We weren't expecting, though, well, they didn't forecast any rain for June. How about that? But we did get a little bit of rain today. So we are certainly thankful for that. And our God does answer prayers. The prayers of his people. We're going to start out with a word of prayer. I hope you'll join me. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for this opportunity to be here. Lord, to be here behind this microphone, Lord, with your word open before me and your Holy Spirit upon us and upon me. And I praise you for that, Lord, and I thank you for it. I ask for your guidance and your mercy and your grace and your wisdom to guide me and direct me tonight. To give me the words to say, Lord, to enjoy this time of fellowship, this time of reading your word, of looking at what's happening in the country. And Lord, to be able to see it with biblical eyes, to see what's going on and to have understanding. Lord, we know that your word says that you tell your people, you tell your anointed what you're going to do before you do it. And you explain to them what's going on, and I thank you for that. I thank you. Lord, we don't claim to have it all. Certainly don't claim to know it all. But Lord, we thank you for the wisdom and the knowledge and the eye-opening that you've given us. We rejoice in that. We thank you, Lord, that you are opening the eyes of the remnant all over the nation. That you are, Lord, that you are returning them. They are returning to the land. Lord, to regenerative agriculture and getting their as much as they can their food locally. And Lord, we rejoice in that. We thank you for that. We thank you most of all that, Lord, you're bringing your people back to baptism, to repentance, and returning to you. And I thank you for that. Lord, help us to continue to share your gospel, the gospel message, the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Continue to help us to share that. We pray that you would prepare the hearts of the people out there that don't have that right relationship with you yet, Lord, that you would prepare their hearts, that they would desire to know you. Guide and direct me tonight, Lord, and let all that I do glorify you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, Remnant again, it is the 24th of June. Thanks for joining us. And the phone lines are open tonight, 307-745-5913. And I guess the big news today is down in Surfside. The about 2 a.m., I guess, had a huge building collapse. One of the big towers, Champlain Towers or something like that. And I saw the video, had some surveillance video that was posted today, and had somebody send me an email of what was, and showed the building falling. So I ask you to pray for those that are his, that are involved, not only the people that, they say there's 99 missing now, I think, is the latest count, one or two confirmed dead, but knowing that they have quite a few people that were there. Don't know all the details. Boy, there's speculation abounding as to what happened. And I don't know. I know that God is in control and that he takes care of those that love him. And so I would encourage as this plays out, as we see it, that we continue to pray for those involved. Again, not just the ones that were there, but also the ones that are there in the rescue effort. It's a massive rescue effort that's going on, and the majority of those people have a heart for service. They don't do it for the money. That they are there to help, and so I would encourage you to keep that in prayer. It reminded me of Luke 13:1, where the tower of in Siloam fell. The words that we have there, and so I thought I would read that because it introduces. And it's speaking of repentance. It is. And so let's take a look. If you have your Bibles, just the first 9 verses of Luke 13, but that's where it's at. And, you know, it is always good, not saying that exactly. It's just this is what it reminded me of. It is. And so let's take a look. Luke 13, it says, "Now on the same occasion, there were some present who reported to him, to Jesus, about the Galileans, whose blood Pilate had mixed with their sacrifices. And Jesus said to them, 'Do you suppose that these Galileans were greater sinners than all other Galileans because they suffered this fate? I tell you, no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish.'" And these are the words of Jesus. These are red-letter words, and these words are for us today. Unless you repent, you will perish. In verse 4 he says, "Or do you suppose that those 18 on whom the tower in Siloam fell and killed them were worse culprits than all the men who live in Jerusalem? I tell you, no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." And so Jesus is making a point here. He is rebuking those that have brought this up to him. And he makes this point that all are guilty. See, they were under the idea that when something bad happened, well, that must be because those people were great sinners. That must be because those people didn't love God, or those people this, or those people that. And Jesus is telling them, you think that those that died were worse than you? And sometimes we have to ask that. You think those were worse sinners that died in that building collapse than you? Now that's how Jesus puts it here. And he says, "I tell you no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." And then he began telling a parable. And I love the parables. I do. Because they apply to us in so many different ways. They do. They apply to us individually, and they can apply to us nationally as a nation of Christians, as a nation of believers. But so let's read it here. He says, and he began telling this parable. "A man had a fig tree which had been planted in his vineyard, and he came looking for fruit on it and didn't find any. And he said to the vineyard keeper, 'Behold, for 3 years I've come looking for fruit on this fig tree without finding any. Cut it down. Why does it even use up the ground?' But the vineyard keeper answered him and said, 'Let it alone, sir, for this year too, until I dig around it and put in fertilizer. And if it bears fruit next year, fine. But if not, cut it down.'" Now I want you to think about that. I want you to think about that parable in Luke 13. Because you know who the vineyard, who the owner of the vineyard was. That's God. And he had a fig tree that was planted, and that's us, that are in his vineyard, in his world. And he's come and looked and expecting fruit Because that's what the fig tree is supposed to produce. And that's what we, as his people, with his covenant and his commandments, that's what we're supposed to produce, is good fruit. And he says, you know, I don't see any, cut it down. And I think that the vineyard keeper comes and I think that could be compared to Christ, that says, you know, let me work on it a little bit. Let me work on it. In the physical, he says, let it alone for one more year. I'll dig around it. I'll put in some fertilizer and I'll try to work with it. And if it bears fruit next year, fine. But if not, cut it down. See, if we don't respond to these words of Christ, that reminds me of the parable of the sower. Wasn't going to go there, but I think we will. We have to, you know, the parable of the sower, the seed went everywhere. But it only produced fruit in some places. And then different percentages. And the explanation of that parable of the sower is the word. The word goes everywhere. You get the same word that I get. And we get the same word Pastor Peter's got. And we've got the same word that Paul the Apostle had. And it's the same word that goes out. But how do we respond? See, there's the difference. There's the difference. In this parable, if that fig tree doesn't respond to the digging around it and the fertilizer, it's getting cut down if it doesn't produce fruit. So don't worry. Don't worry about those others out there. But we have to produce fruit. Boy, that wasn't what I was intending to talk about at all, but there it is. And so pray for those that are involved in that down in Florida today. I encourage you to do that. I do. Well, the phone lines are open, 307-745-5913. And COVID, boy, all kind of things going on still. You would think that this COVID mess would be over by now. Now there's supposedly a Delta variant, a new type of COVID. They're talking about it being over in Europe, and then they're talking about it being here. And, you know, because it's influenza season, and it's a mess. It's a mess. A couple of headlines that caught my eye also. The city of San Francisco will mandate all city employees to be vaccinated against the COVID-19 pending approval from the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. City officials announced the move on Wednesday, saying it was made in the interest of its more than 33,000 workers. Oh, of course. You don't think they're going to tell you, well, we're doing this to kill you. We're doing this to cause heart problems on people. We're doing this to eliminate some of you. They're not going to say, oh, no, this is for your good, is what they're saying. Now, see, the COVID vaccine right now has only been approved for emergency use. See, that's why it's not mandated in the military, and it's not mandated. It is recommended. Says here, San Francisco, earlier this month, the city ordered all employees working in high-risk settings, hospitals and jails, would need to be fully vaccinated with limited exemptions and within a specified time frame. And so, it's more of what the masses are doing. Okay? I hope you understand that. It's more of what the masses are doing. Now, we are told to what? Come out of her, my people. And you might say, well, I don't work for the city of San Francisco. Well, here's another one. Investment banker Morgan Stanley plans to lift mask and physical distancing requirements in its offices, but only after banning unvaccinated workers, clients, and visitors. The company told its workforce on Tuesday that employees and clients who are not fully vaccinated against COVID-19 will be unable to return to offices that have a significant employee presence in New York City and Westchester County starting in July 12th. The New York Times reports the rule will also apply to visitors, though the requirement relies on an honor system for now rather than proof of vaccination. Workers who are not fully vaccinated are expected to continue working remotely. And so that's how it is right now. So it's Morgan Stanley, City of San Francisco. We had reported to you earlier in the year that Delta Airlines said any new employee will be required to be fully vaccinated against COVID-19. And so, again, this is what the masses are doing. Our advice is say no. Do something else. Don't take the vaccine. See, it continues to change and to grow. You know, the latest I've seen the last few days, Delta variant. See, now it's always something new. Don't know if you saw this regarding the vaccine. The CDC, Center for Disease Control, reports 1,200 cases of a heart inflammation condition after receiving the Pfizer and Moderna vaccines. Oh, you didn't see this in the news? Yeah, this was June 23rd. How about that? Yesterday. 1,200 cases of heart inflammation condition, either myocarditis or pericarditis, in young people, 16 to 24-year-olds primarily, under 30-year-old men. They're holding a meeting. Yeah, the vast majority of the cases developing in men under the age of 30. 9 were hospitalized, 2 in intensive care. 79% have fully recovered for now, so they say. And so, it's up to you. It's up to you, Remnant. We encourage you not to take it. Psalms 91 is for those that the promises there are for those that dwell in the shelter of the Most High. His promises are there for those that have repented and returned. So it's up to you. It is up to you. As for me, I'll stand on Psalms 91. Again, phone lines are open tonight, 307-745-5913. Got a email reception report from Sweden. Says, my name is Michael. Listen in Sweden, listening on WTWW on 5830. And good signal, had some atmospheric noise, overall good. And then he gives a list of what he has and his antenna and all that. And from Sweden. So it's good to get those. And Remnant, remember that we're able to send these broadcasts out because of those that support us. Okay? It is only because of your partnering with us that we're able to pay the bills to keep WTWW broadcasting the gospel message 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, all over the world. And so we encourage you. So that was, those were some of the current events that caught my eye. A couple other ones did. This critical race theory that is being pushed, the rewriting of our history, the proclaiming and forcing to be taught that American society and everything about America and the birth and growth of America is racist. and that we owe minorities. See, that's been pushed and prodded, and that's what this CRT is, this critical race theory, is, and people across the country are getting fed up. Fort Worth, Texas had a big meeting, and it was not well. It did not go well. Where the parents, sometimes hundreds, are coming in early to the school board meetings to let them know, and not just white parents, black parents as well, that this is not, that it's not accurate, it's not true, and it does not need to be taught to the children. Loudoun County, Virginia had a big to-do where they cut off public comment, even had a couple people arrested because they said, no, we will speak here. It's a public meeting with the school board, and what a mess that was. Jefferson County, Kentucky, in Minnesota, it's happening. School board meetings all over the country. See, people are reaching that boiling point. They're reaching that Popeye moment where he says, I've had all I can stand, and I can't stand no more. Now, no, not everybody has. But some are. And that's good. That's good. There's even students, 9-year-olds, 13-year-olds that are getting up and saying, even I know this stuff is bunk. And you people are the administrators, and you're supposed to know better than this. And that's happening all over the country. It is. See, some people are seeing the trash and how the public school system is really the public fool system. Well, again, folks, phone lines are open. 307-745-5913. I even saw a video. I had a guy send me an email of a black father in Illinois with 2 medical degrees, and he was blasting. He was just cutting them a new one, this school board, that was saying, why do you want to teach this critical race theory that everything about America is racist to keep the black man down? He said, I came up without a father in my family on the bad side of the tracks. He said, but I worked and I went to school. He said, I now have 2 medical degrees, and you're telling me that this country is racist and I'm unable to do this? I'm being held down because of that? He said, I came from these bad areas. And he said, I know. And he said, you guys are just, you're pushing and promoting racism and lies. And so it was great. It was a great, I hope you've seen it, a young black dad in Illinois did an excellent job. See, they can't stand up to the truth. They can't stand up to the truth. They can't. So, anyway, it is good to see that people are waking up, that they are. Regardless, the enemy is still pushing and promoting that. We're still being invaded from the South. The times that we're in are perilous times. The Bible talks about it. Our people have been through it before. One of the reasons that we push the Anglo-Israel message so hard is because our people have been through it before. And that's, see, we need to realize who we are so that, and when you do, and you go back and read the Old Testament stories, even the New Testament, you go back and read them, and then you, and when you realize who you are, that those stories are about our grandparents. And they apply to us today as well. Well, it's just downright amazing. It is. Got a song for you. Yep, that's what I want. And so, I'm going to grab me a quick drink of water. And we're going to play this song. Because it fits. It fits. And We'll have the phone lines open, 307-745-5913, if you'd like to give us a call. And because he is returning, there is no doubt about that. And it's going to be great. It really is. It's going to be great.
There's a great day coming, a great day coming. There's a great day coming by and by, when the saints and the sinners shall be parted right and left. Are you ready for that day to come? Are you ready?
Are you ready? See, we've had judgment days come before. Not the judgment day, but we've had judgments come before. You read through Isaiah and Jeremiah and you see that. Jeremiah 29:11, we talk about that a lot. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for calamity. Plans to give you a future and a hope. But when you see that, that's when the 70 years are completed in Babylon. And so even during times of, because right after you read in verse 17, I'm sending upon them the sword, famine, and pestilence. They will be like split open figs. I will pursue them with the sword, with famine, and with pestilence, because they have not listened to my words. It says, but you did not listen. And so, but even in that sword and pestilence and famine, he has those that he has good plans for. That he has good plans for. Just as he did then. Okay? Just as he did then. And so, when you read Jeremiah 29, it's subtitled Message to the Exiles. See, He lets his people know why these calamities are coming on them. The people today in this land, they don't know why we're being invaded all along the southern border. Saw a report, Laredo, Texas, the Border Patrol arrests are up 1,000%. 1,000%. People don't know why. Why? Why? Why have we opened up the borders? Why do we have to get the COVID-19 shot to work somewhere? Why is there crime in the streets? You know, it's almost like open war on policemen anymore. Open war. Did you see a video? There was, I forget where it was, but there had been a like a Hispanic parade or something. And so here's a couple that are leaving, and I think they got into a minor accident, just a little fender bender. And so they're trying to take care of a mob of black people, I'll tell you, that's what it was, attack them, pull them out of their car, just shoot them at point-blank range, bam, bam, killed the man there, and the woman died a day later in the hospital. Just, and there's security video from next door that shoots it. Actually, it was a person videoing it that was, like, upstairs next door. And it just shows them, just in cold blood. And that happens all the time. We become hardened to it. And we shouldn't be. We shouldn't. That's what is happening to the masses. But God has good plans. He had, you know, God had good plans for Joseph. Joseph was years. What was it? Was it 13 or 30 years? I'd have to go back and read it. Years between his brothers throwing him in the pit and then him saving them as number two man in Egypt. But God had good plans for him. Certainly God had good plans for Abraham and for his people. Even in their wandering, he had good plans for them. I mentioned that. I brought a message a few weeks ago about that. And you know that they say it would have been, it's about a 3-week journey where the children of Israel from leaving Egypt to going into the promised land, about a 3-week trek across the desert, just a nice, could have been a nice, great camping trip with God leading them, right? A pillar of fire by day or fire by night and cloud by day, and just, you know, providing them water and food, and they didn't really have to pack, and their clothes aren't wearing out. Just a nice 3 weeks of praising him. But it turned into 40 years of moaning and groaning and griping. So think about, if God's got good plans for you, do you want it to be just a short, good, enjoyable camping trip to get to where he wants you to be? Or do you want it drug out for a lifetime of moaning and groaning? You know, God had good plans for Gideon. And he helped him through those plans. God had good plans for Saul, who became the Apostle Paul. And remember who he used? See, he used Ananias, right? He used Ananias. And so he used Ananias, who had said, "Here I am, Lord, use me. I'm ready to go." Till God told him what he wanted him to do. And then it was like, "Oh, wait a minute, God. Don't you know who this man is?" Remember that story? You ever have that happen in your life? Do you ever have that happen in your life where you're like, "I'm ready, Lord. I'll go do it. I am good to go. I'm ready." And then you get an opportunity, and it's not what you thought it was, not what you wanted it to be. Remember, Pastor brought that out with the story of Naaman the leper, the pride that he had, that he could be healed. And the prophet doesn't even come out. He just sends his servant and says, "Oh, just go bathe in the water 7 times. And it enraged Naaman. Why? Because he thought he had to do some great thing. He thought he had to go out on a big quest and get this shield here and then go get the grapes from here. And, you know, who knows? He thought he had this great quest to do. But all he had to do was humble himself and believe. And when he did, when the child told him, and he obeyed, he was healed. See, God had good plans for him. Plans for God to be glorified thousands of years later when we read about it in the Word. I like, even during the 40-year wandering, God had good plans for Joshua and Caleb. Joshua was replacing Moses, and Caleb, he was the only other one of that generation that made it into the promised land. The Bible says because he had a different spirit. You need a different spirit today, remnant, than these masses lining up for the vaccination. You need to be of a different spirit. The Spirit of Christ. And we're given that. We are given that Holy Spirit. We're given the gift of the Holy Spirit at baptism. And that's what we need. That's part of the good plans that God has for us. And to be a survivor today, you cannot do it apart from God. You will not survive apart from God. I don't care what victory garden you've got. Now, definitely do a victory garden. Definitely. But you're not going to survive on just that and not God. And have your guns and ammo and have your food storage and have your water capability and as much as you can. But you're not going to survive today apart from God. Apart from His Son, Jesus Christ. Got an update from Miss Irene in Texas last night. Read it on the Wednesday night prayer meeting. Let me read it real quick. She says, "You recently prayed for me. I received your prayer confirmation. In addition, you included the little 12-page excerpt taken from the book, Christ the Healer. The pamphlet was a blessing to me. What farmers do, they plant seeds, then wait for them to grow. The farmer doesn't dig up the seeds to see if they'll grow. It's more clear to me now what faith is." Page 9 in the book Christ the Healer talks about the three essential things that you have to have. And it's talking about for healing, but it's for any blessing of God. Any blessing of God. And it's 1, an attentive ear. 2, a steadfast look, not just a glance. And 3, an enshrining heart. See, you have to be attention. An attentive ear, pay attention. And a steadfast look, that means you look into the Word. And an enshrining heart. And then a quote from page 9. "When your eyes are upon your symptoms and your mind is occupied with them more than God's Word." And again, it applies to anything in the physical, what we see. We're invaded from the south. Oh, these vaccines. Oh, what do we do? This Chicken Little, the sky is falling. See, when you're occupied with that instead of God's Word, well, you have in the ground the wrong kind of seed for the harvest that you desire. God Almighty says, "Draw near to me, and I will draw near to you." And so if you want to be closer to God, if you want His blessings, you want to abide in Him and have Him abide in you, and you want to dwell in the shelter of the Most High so that plague will not come near your tent. Well, see, He's already done everything He needs to do. Now it's on us. It's on you to do what you need to do. And throughout the Bible, it's repentance. It's repentance. It is. It hasn't changed. So to be a survivor today, God's got good plans for you, but you have to work God's plan. Okay? You have to work God's plan. If you want to be a doctor, you have to go to school for however many years. You have to work that plan to be a doctor. You can't just say, "Well, I'm a doctor," and you haven't worked that plan. It doesn't work that way. And it's the same way with being a Christian. You can't just say, well, I'm a Christian. I believe in God," and not work God's plan. You can't do that. You can't be on the fence and be a Christian. He says, "Come out of her, my people. Come out of her." Remember Isaiah 26, "Come, my people, enter into your rooms and close your doors behind you. Hide for a little while." That's my people. That's those that are obedient. That's the wise virgins. He says, until indignation runs its course. For behold, the Lord is about to come out from his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. And the earth will reveal her bloodshed and will no longer cover her slain. Now, I didn't write it, but I'll read it to you. And I believe it. You have to work God's plan. Well, how do I know God's plan for me? Well, he tells us. He gives a big ten. And just like that quote that Miss Irene gave us from Christ the Healer, you have to have an attentive ear. You have to have a steadfast look, not just a glance, and an enshrining heart. That means you listen to the word, you read the word, and you have that word in your heart, in your mind. You seek it. You hunger and thirst for it. You have to work God's plan. You have to love God for sure and love your neighbor. I mean, that's commands from Christ, from Jesus himself. Love God. When they tried to, you know, they were trying to, oh, what's the greatest commandment? And he said, love God and love your neighbors yourself. Everything else hinges on that. We need to be doing that. We need to make sure that we forgive. You need to forgive, because I know you've been wronged, whoever you are, whether you're in Kentucky or Tennessee or California or Georgia or Florida or Illinois or Ohio or Maine or anywhere else. I know you've been wronged unjustly. You need to forgive. You need to forgive. Now, I'm not talking about Goliaths. You should know that. But you need to be able to forgive so that you can be forgiven and so that you can be more Christ-like. Remember when they were driving the nails in his hands? They were killing our Lord and Savior. And he said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they're doing. They don't know what they're doing. And so, even if you have to rationalize it in your mind, when you forgive someone that's wronged you, you can use those same words. You can say, Father, forgive them. They didn't know what they were doing. That's part of working his plan. Loving God, loving your neighbor, forgiving. How about this? Don't fear. Don't fear. Because see, if you have fear, you need to not hold that. You got to get rid of that. You have to cast your cares, the Bible says, to cast your cares upon the Lord, upon Jesus. That's one of the reasons when you read Isaiah 53, that's one of the reasons, one of the prophecies. I think we've got time to go there. I'm in Isaiah. It was in Jeremiah. But that's one of the reasons. In Isaiah 53, our griefs he himself bore, our sorrows he carried. He was pierced, he was wounded for our transgression. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening of our well-being, of our peace, fell upon him. And by his scourging, we are healed. He took our griefs and our sorrows and our sin. So you don't have to have them. You don't have to carry them. Use the benefit that you have available to him, to you. If you use the benefit you have available to you in working God's plan. It is as simple as that. But it involves prayer. It involves changing. If you're neck deep with the world, it does. Oh, we're in the world. We're just not to be of the world. That's the message. Jeremiah 29, the message to the exiles, the reason God was doing this, because they haven't listened to his words. It's throughout. Hosea 4:6, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. If you don't want to be destroyed, gain knowledge. Turn to his word. It's not rocket science. It's not. You know, I mentioned the parables, and I spoke on the parables in church a few weeks ago, and the parables are great for so many reasons. As we grow and change in time and age and experience, hopefully growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and we go back and reread those parables, well, they take on new meaning. It is a living word. You don't have to believe me. Just try it. Just try it. Go back and read the parable of the sower, understanding that seed that goes out is the word of God, and figure out, where are you in that? What part of what, you know, are you the rocky ground? Are you the fertile soil? Do the cares of the world come before the things of God in your life? Do the cares and the worries of the world come before God's good plan for you? Do they? If they do, what are you going to do? When you go back to those parables, you know, when you see the when you read the parable again, the prodigal son, you know, there's characters in there. Are you the prodigal son? At times we are. Are you the prodigal father? Are you the father of the prodigal son that has sons or daughters that have turn their back and just gone? Maybe. Well, there's examples of how to be, if you want the result of what happens that's taught in that parable. How about the older brother? Oh, that didn't left. No, he stayed there working. He stayed there working the whole time. He didn't feel like he had any reward, but everything was already his. He just didn't realize it. So see, he had to change his thinking. Sometimes that's where we're at. Well, Remnant, I want you to be a survivor. I want you to be an overcomer. I'd mentioned last night, I like Max Licato's book. I found this little one. It's called Grace for the Moment. It's a little inspirational thoughts for each day of the year. And I'll close out with this. The scripture is Matthew 10:28. Don't be afraid of people who can kill the body but cannot kill the soul. The only one you should fear is the one who can destroy the soul and the body in hell. And so Max's quote is, hell's misery is deep, but not as deep as God's love. So how do we apply this truth? If you're saved, it should cause you to rejoice. You've been rescued. A glance into hell leads the believer to rejoice. But it also should lead the believer to redouble his efforts to reach the lost. To understand hell is to pray more earnestly and to serve more diligently. Ours is a high-stakes mission that we have. And the lost, what about them? What's the meaning of this message for the unprepared? It's heed the warnings and get ready. This plane won't fly forever. Ecclesiastes 7:2 tells us death is the destiny of every man. The living should take this to heart. And it is true. It is true. Whatever your vision or opinion or thought of heaven and hell is, I look at it that heaven is eternity with Christ and hell is eternity apart from Him. I'd rather spend the time with Him. Well, guys, I'm out of time. Thanks for joining us. I encourage you to come back Saturday morning for coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. We'll be here. We'll have the phone lines open. We'll hopefully have a full crew. And we'll be glad to take your call. And we look forward to talking to you then. I'm going to play that Great Day song one more time because it is a great day that's coming. It's a great day for those of us that know the Lord. It's not going to be a good day for those that have denied Him and continue to live that way. It is that 11 3/4 hour. It's, I think, 11:58, 11:59, 59:59. We'll talk to you Saturday.
There's a great day coming, a great day coming. There's a great day coming by and by, when the saints and the sinners shall be parted right and left. Are you ready for that day to come? Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready for the judgment day?
The sinner shall hear His